How's it going, everybody? Hope you're all doing well on this Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. This is the official podcast of the R Miami Marlins of the VBL, Virtual Baseball League. It doesn't quite have a name yet. We're going to try to come up with that as we go along, but for now, this is where we're going to be, you know, once a week. Hopefully, maybe more often, but for now, we're probably going to aim for once a week. My name is Joe Butgerite. I'm the owner and general manager of the R Marlins. Give you a little background on the league. So the VBL, the Virtual Baseball League, was created by father and son, Tony and Tori Hernandez, who spent roughly about 10 years in Major League Baseball working for the Angels and various teams in various departments doing, you know, analytical things. Over a course of 10 years there, they, you know, designed this platform, got together with some other MLB executives to try to create an exact replica of Major League Baseball in a reality sports format for, you know, fans to get involved. So this is the product that they've created, and each team itself had a value based on current and future projections of success. You know, teams like the Yankees, the Astros are a lot more expensive as they're set, they're projected to win now, and they also have a very good future ahead of them based on the age of their team, the prospects they have in the farm club, and just their, you know, projections to succeed. You know, teams like the, say the Twins, White Sox, not necessarily the Phillies, they got a good future ahead of them. But, you know, teams like that that haven't had the most success lately, the Royals, you know, teams like that, the Reds, were a lot cheaper. I live in D.C. The only problem is the Nationals, our Nationals, were pretty expensive. They're very successful right now. They have a very good future ahead of them based on, you know, the farm club. We saw Juan Soto come up and looks like a very good player. And they got a couple more of those guys that are going to be coming up here soon, especially with the injuries they're having. But for me, the R Nationals were a little too expensive in the position that I was in. So I looked for, you know, I set a price range for the teams that were available and the kind of the number that I wanted to spend on the team. And I came up with the R Marlins based on their situation. I thought they were the best fit for me. The roster's locked on November 20th of 2017 when the first team was purchased. So they had the roster that they finished the season with last year. Not the roster that Derek Jeter has, you know, pretty much lit up in flames and trying to start over. They still had Giancarlo Stanton. They still had Christian Yelich. They still had Marcell Ozuna. They still had D. Gordon. They still had all these guys. They don't have the greatest projection of success because the cap number of just the lineup in itself was almost at the limit, and they had virtually no pitching staff. They, you know, their aces, Dan Straley or Wei-Yin Chin, who, I mean, they're not bad, but they're certainly no, you know, Chris Sale or Luis Severino, Max Scherzer. They don't have anything like that. They don't have a starter that you can depend on. They don't have a bullpen that you can depend on. They don't have a closer that you can depend on. So I felt that this team was a good fit for me because they had a lot of star power that you can make some moves and set yourself up. So that's where I went. So the league itself has a 10-year window of prize pool money. They have raised $500,000 for prize pool winnings over the course of 10 years. So it's $50,000 per year. And prize winning opportunities, there's a lot of different ways to win money. Every week, the team with the best record gets $35. You get, I think it's like $15 per all-star on your team, monthly awards, you know, winning the division, best farm club, obviously winning in the playoffs, winning pennants, winning World Series are more money. However, there is other ways to win money. The goal is to extend the life and create a, you know, lifelong league that we can all be a part of. And that's up to us as owners, up to the front office to, you know, promote the product. My goal is to treat this league treat my team, the R. Marlins, like a business. I'm not treating it like a fantasy team. This is not fantasy baseball. It's very, very different, much more complex. So I'm treating my team like a business. I, you know, set up a website. I have started this podcast now. Goal is to figure out what our licensing rights are, our branding rights, and I would like to, you know, create some merchandise, start selling, start promoting, trying to build an audience, a fan base to, you know, simulate Major League Baseball. That's what we're all trying to do. That's the goal. We have some partnerships that the front office are working on. They're working on a deal with Twitch to live stream some events. Maybe live stream some playoff viewing parties, a World Series viewing party, maybe a draft, things like that. And Tori has mentioned to us that based on some of the deals they have in the works, they expect the prize pool to be up to $250,000 by year four. And if we could do that, the sky's the limit with this league. I don't know how many of you follow esports, but esports is booming right now. They just came up with the NBA 2K League, a two-man or a five-man team video game league that actually hosted a draft at, I believe, Madison Square Garden, and Adam Silver actually hosted it. So it's really big right now, and we're trying to be a part of that. So that's, you know, some of the opportunities we have to extend the life and build this brand that we're trying to create. Some of the things that we do, you know, like I said, it's an exact replica of Major League Baseball. We have, you know, 40-man rosters, 25-man active roster. We have full farm clubs with roster limit restrictions, just like Major League Baseball. You know, you have 25 players on your AAA team, 25 players on your AA team. We have the Rule 5 player draft, the Rule 5 draft and the first-year player draft. We do waivers, you know, trades. The trade deadline is the same as it is in Major League Baseball, July 31st, and then after that you have the waiver trade deadline where your players have to clear the waivers before they can be traded. Things like that. It's the exact same thing. Every team has a salary cap that matches their counterparts in Major League Baseball. We can raise the salary cap, however, we have to spend real money out of our own pockets to do so. I believe it's on a 1 to 1,000 scale, so every million you would like to raise your salary cap, you have to pay $100. So that's kind of what things like this are for. And, you know, we're trying to find some sponsorships. Some of the other teams, I believe, already have some. I have one for the R. Marlins, the Gray Realty Group in Northern Virginia. There's a buddy of mine who owns a business, wanted to, you know, get involved, be a part of this, help me out a little bit. Things like that will help me better the team and help me raise the salary cap. Or the Miami Marlins have a low salary cap compared to, you know, some of the other big market teams. Miami hasn't been the greatest sports town in the country. I'm going to try to work on that, try to build that. I'm in D.C. I'm in a perfect, you know, promotion market area to build a brand. So that's what I'm going to try to do. So, like I said, our cap situation is pretty low. I pretty much was maxed out when I took over the team. So some of the first things I did, you know, I wanted to move some big contracts. Obviously, the biggest one on the book was Giancarlo Stanton. Whoever thought that he was worth a 13-year, $325 million deal is beyond me, but that's what I had to deal with. So I contacted the R Yankees, just like, you know, real life. They sent him to the Yankees, so that's what I was looking to do. Got some pretty good players in return. Stole shortstop Didi Gregorius, who was, after a blazing hot start, won AL Player of the Month in April. He's been, you know, a little cold in May, but he's way too good of a player to not bounce back. And I believe that gives me a shortstop for the future. He's only 27 years old. I don't think he's in his prime yet. He's kind of coming into his own, you know, getting a lot more comfortable in the Bronx. He had to fill the shoes of the greatest shortstop the Yankees ever had. Obviously, it wasn't easy to do, but he's getting more comfortable, and I think the sky's the limit for the kid. I also brought in Dellin Betances, who has some control issues over the past, you know, 8 to 9 months, the end of last season, the beginning of this season, but he's so talented. His stuff is so nasty that he's an asset to the bullpen. that was, you know, void of a really prevalent shutdown guy, which I think he brings to the table. I also brought in Justice Sheffield, who, if you're not, you know, familiar with minor league players, is one of the best. He's ranked 44th in Major League Baseball prospects. Left-handed pitcher, not the prototypical starter size. He's a little under 6 foot. However, he hits the upper 90s. He hits 96, 97 with his fastball. He's got a wipeout slider, curveball. I'm not really sure exactly what it is. It might be a slurve. Throws it about low 80s. Got a little bit more hook than a slider, a little bit flatter than a curveball, but it's a nasty pitch. He's got a changeup that he's working on. If he can, you know, master that changeup, he's got frontline starter written all over him. He's got number two starter in the Bronx written all over him, because there's not much out there better than Severino, but I can see him fitting in the Bronx at number two, and that would obviously be an ace on my team. Then I also brought in Fraser Perez, who is bigger than the prototypical starter. He's the 6'8", you know, dominant presence on the mound that hits 100. He's got the control issues as well, like most big, loose pitchers have. If he can, you know, figure that out, he could be a middle rotation starter, or he could turn into a dominant closer, which is also something we can use. So I think the floor for him is very high. If he's not going to make it as a middle starter, he's going to make it as a very reliable closer. I also moved Christian Yelich, who netted second baseman Jonathan Scope from the Baltimore Orioles for me. Also Ryan Mountcastle, who is third baseman by nature, but they've been kind of moving him around the infield in the minors in Baltimore. See, as they have some prevalent infielders in Baltimore. So third base is probably where he'll stick if he stays there. However, with the Manny Machado free agency looming, or trade looming, he could, you know, move back to shortstop, which I think is where he played in college. But he's another, you know, top 100 prospect in baseball. I think he's ranked number 90 right now. So he's very good. He's batting 400 in AAA right now. Or AA right now. He's got a superstar written all over him. I also brought in, with the same trade, Hunter Harvey, who's a pitcher for the Orioles that was almost a can't-miss top-of-the-rotation guy a few years ago. Had a couple surgeries, missed about a year and a half. So his stock fell, but over the course of the past year, he's starting to get his feel back. He's starting to get his velocity back. He's getting the movement back, and he's getting his confidence back, which is huge. I think I stole him in this trade. I think our Orioles were, you know, not as sold on him as I am. So I feel like that was what put me over the top of making the move. That's what I felt. I won the trade due to the Hunter Harvey addition. I also traded a couple relievers. Brad Ziegler, who is the MLB Marlins closer, who was a $9 million cap hit for a closer that, I think he's 39 years old. Doesn't really fit the future of my team. I'm not looking to compete right now. I don't have the roster that can win a World Series. So it made no sense. There's competitive teams that needed a closer. I thought he was a little overpaid for his skill set. And I was just going to lose him in a free agency anyways, because I wasn't going to re-sign a 40-year-old closer on a team in real life that's not going to win much. So it didn't really make sense. So I shipped him out to Texas for I shipped him to Milwaukee for Oliver Drake and Zach Brown, who is a very good pitcher in their minor league system. For the Texas trade, I sent Junichi Tozawa and Brian Anderson out there for Adrian Beltre, who I thought could really help my lineup this year. Actually, Edison Volquez was also included in that trade, even the salary. Edison Volquez was on a one-year deal for $13 million, and he's not going to pitch this season. So any way I could unload that deal, I was looking to do. And netting Adrian Beltre in return was huge. It's hurt right now, but batting .315 on the year at age 39, I mean, the guy is a Hall of Famer. If you can get him on your team, it's huge. So some of the other things that we have to do, you know, to compete. the cool part about this league is, you know, you buy your team, which I talked about earlier. You buy your team, and that team is yours, and you don't have to spend another dollar for the rest of the league, the rest of the life of the league if you don't want to. You could buy your team and just play for the next 10 years or more if we extend it of prize money. However, it puts you at a disadvantage by doing that. There's a lot of things in this league that you have to spend real money for that can really benefit you. The big thing is the international free agents. For those that, you know baseball, international free agents are huge. It's so hard to win without them. Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, like these countries produce such good baseball players at such young ages that you gotta compete with them. The biggest name this year was, Shohei Ohtani coming over from Japan. 23-year-old kid, labeled the Babe Ruth of Japan, the ace pitcher as well as the cleanup hitter. I couldn't get involved because, in order to sign international free agents, your posting fee is correlated to real money on the same 1 to 1,000 scale. So if you want to post $50 million to negotiate with the player, you got to pay $500. I don't have $500 just laying around. So I couldn't get involved in these international free agents. Another big one was Kevin Maitan coming from Atlanta. He was forced to be released from the Braves as they were found guilty of tampering with the IFA rules. So they were forced to release him, which happened before our rosters locked. So he was a free agent in our league, and the same rules apply. You pay the posting fee to negotiate with a player. I couldn't get involved, which would have been huge for me because I could have used the top prospect shortstop, but I couldn't get involved, so I had to, make a deal instead. Ended up bringing in Didi Gregorius, which, could work out better, but who knows. The contract for Didi is already higher. This kid is 20 years old, and he would have been, making league minimum. If he turns out to be good, that would have been a huge bonus for my team. But that's something that we weren't able to do. But kind of a little background of the league that we have and what we're looking to do. We need to bring fans. As owners, we purchased 51% of ownership of the team. The goal is to auction off the remaining 49% in the future to, build fans, build markets, build stock shares, raise the value. If we could do that, the value of this league is going to skyrocket. Another thing that's huge is the recent Supreme Court decision to overrule the ban on sports gambling. I think that's going to be huge for us. Day-by-day game betting isn't probably going to happen due to the fact that we don't have a product that you can actually watch on TV. However, I do believe that season-long win totals, World Series champions, division champions, MVP, bets, things like that, I think can really drive the value up of our league. There's gamblers out there that'll bet on anything, and this is something that you can really gamble on, and you can look at a team's roster and take a guess who's going to be the best team. It's just like you do in Major League Baseball. You see teams like the Yankees had a season win total of 95.5. You look at their roster, you're like, there's a pretty good chance they can get to 96 wins, so I'm going to take the over. You look at rosters in our league the same exact way. You see a team set up for a 90.5 win total, look at their roster and be like, I think they can win 91 games. I'm going to bet the over. Things like that, I think, can be really big for us and really drive the value up and make this a very profitable league. Another thing I'm trying to do is add to the front office. If there's people out there that want to get involved, you can actually use this as experience to springboard yourself into a Major League Baseball role. Our front office has a relationship with the MLB front office. They are aware of our league, of our rules, of our regulations, and they actually see this as a legit experience level for Major League Baseball roles. So, it's big. You can really get yourself into a career in baseball if that's something that you're looking for. Just go to rmarlinsbaseball.com. It's our team website. If you go to employment on the top left, and then look for open jobs, and then under the contact us page, you can submit an application. and we'll get back to you within probably 24 to 48 hours. Right now, we're looking for assistant general managers as well as some payroll specialists, any kind of finance specialist to, you know, monitor the payroll and control the payrolls for us is something that I'm not the best at. So that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking to add. So if anyone's interested, go to rmarlinsbaseball.com. That'll do it for today. I'd really like to make this a weekly thing. So if you can go to Anchor, the Anchor app, go to our podcast and favorite us. I'll have a name by the end of the week. Maybe I'll put a vote up on Twitter at @_rmarlins. Maybe we can get people to vote. I'll come up with a couple different ideas, get people to vote and come up with a name for the podcast. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.